During Lent, we hear much about conversions. Most parishes have people becoming Catholic, coming back to their faith, receiving the sacrament of initiation, or perhaps converting to the Christian faith, Catholicism, and being baptised. It is, after all, a season of metanoia, or repent, change your heart and thinking, and come back to God, or come to God. And today's Gospel and the first reading are all about a conversion. And most people's conversion, or change of heart, metanoia, is gradual, the stages. There's a few miraculous conversions where someone's gone from here to there in a single moment of tremendous grace. André Froissart, who recently died, was one. He walked into a church, it was benediction, walked in an atheist, walked out a Catholic. And then, of course, there's Alphonsus Ratisbon in Rome, the miraculous medal converted him instantaneously. And of course, the great Saint Paul. But most people, it's a gradual stage or phases, normally about two or three or four, over a period of time. And it works upon the heart and the head. The heart and the head. One is the root, the other is the fruit. One works off the other. Often it starts with the heart, moves to the head, and vice versa. But both are important. As has been said, a convert is not so much caught, but taught. And so this woman is caught and taught by the Lord. And the whole thing hangs upon what we call living water. Living water is two words meaning basically grace that comes from Christ. And the first reading is all about God's people in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness of the world. They're thirsty. We're thirsty for spiritual water for our soul. It's parched. It needs to be quenched. They complained to Moses. Moses picked up his staff, struck the rock. The rock is a symbol of God. And once struck, water came out. Christ is the rock. He was struck upon the cross. From his side at death, water flowed, grace for our souls. And this, the Jews knew, that living water is a symbol of grace entering the world. C.S. Lewis, when he wrote the great book Narnia, and Aslan dies, it's only after the death of Aslan and the ransom being paid, the curse has been lifted, does water, living water, begin to flow. And with that, fruitfulness. So there's much behind living water. A weller, however, the weller Sychar, wasn't living water. Living water is a running stream. This is still water. And yet they're playing upon grace theme. The first thing they notice is that Samaria is between Judea and Galilee. Our Lord's travelling down with his disciples. How many? I know not. That's 5, 6, 10, 12. He sends them into town. It's the sixth hour, noon. Go and find some food. They stop. Well, we all have to go. Go. First point on a conversion is an encounter with Christ. An encounter that touches the heart. Our Lord's at the well and the woman comes up. She's left her town, she's walked some kilometres with her jar, no small deal. It's midday, it's hot. Why is she coming to this well when there's a well in the town? And she comes and she sees Jesus as a Jewish rabbi. They don't talk, they're not meant to. It's forbidden to communicate to a rabbi, and if it's a Jew, you'd never talk to them. And Jesus makes the first gesture. It's one of kindness. It's an encounter that touches her heart. He asks her for a drink. And she's astonished. What, you? A Jew? Notice she talks to him not by his name, not rabbi, but by his nationality, which is a negative. You wob, used to say in the olden days, or you pom. It's a down term. It's not a popular term. It's depreciating. And that's the way she's thinking of God. He's foreign to my way of living. Why? It's because of her morals. Anyway, our Lord uses that symbol of the, or rather uses the drink as a symbol to lead to the living water. He says, are you thirsty in your soul for living water, for grace? And she thinks, well, is he talking about grace? Is he talking about joy for the soul? Or is he talking about this water here in the well? And so she says, well, you've got no bucket to draw water. How can you get living water? And Jesus says, I'm not talking about your body, woman. I'm talking about your soul needs to be quenched. And once quenched, it's quenched for eternity. In other words, heaven. And she says, then, no longer Jew, but Lord, or in this translation, Sir, I so want that water. I'm so down on myself. My life is misery. I'm not able to cope. I need to change. Now God into the head. He touched her heart. It's now a challenge to her head. You've missed out on the key part in the shorter gospel. But right where you turn the page, she wants living water. She wants the grace. But she has to give up something. What is it? Well, it's because she's been living a rather immoral life. Our Lord says, go and get you a husband. She says, oh, I don't have a husband. I'm sure she's stubborn. And our Lord says, that's right, you don't have a husband right now because you've had five. In a small town, she'd been going through the men, the husbands, and that's why she was so unpopular. She had to go to the well out of the town because the women would not have allowed her to go and draw from the water in the town after going through so many men. In other words, that's the obstacle to her conversion. She's been immoral. Yet her life is empty. She's now on her own. It's misery and she needs mercy. But having touched the sore spot, the wound, she bolts and starts to talk about politics. And that's where the gospel you have comes back in. She says, oh, where do you Jews? You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Oh, we worship as another issue. Let's get off the point of immorality and adultery, please. It's too close to the bone. And our Lord says, yeah, okay, it's like a fish. He let her go. He let draw out the line, keep going. And then he brings her back in. He brings her back in. In other words, we have only the minutes of a rather long discourse. But it's fascinating how he plays upon her soul, drawing her back closer and closer. Then he reintroduces the whole notion of grace to the soul. And she starts the thought, realising it's not so bad, he knows now my story, and she confesses, we're waiting for the one who's going to bring us the truth and freedom, the Messiah. And our Lord then says, I am he. Which in Jewish language is saying, I am God, I am Yahweh. And her heart is completely won over to him. Perhaps her eyes open, she sees him as he is, my Lord and my God. She leaves the jar of water there, goes into the town where she's unwanted, and she's changed. She's had such a change in her life, it's showing on her face. And she starts to talk to people. And she was the unwanted one, the adulteress. And she brings them out to the Lord. Fascinating scene. They must have seen something. What's happened to her? And they come to meet Christ, to greet him, and they are converted also. The heart and the head, the root and the fruit. We need to use both for winning people over to Christ. And often it's just a little word here or there, a book, an article, a YouTube clip, something that makes them think. And then when they bolt, because there's always a moral issue that surfaces, let's not let them go too far. But just draw them back with our kindness, realising that each and every person, deep within, is not only looking for pleasure of the body or happiness of the heart, but really joy for the soul. And that comes from Christ. And an encounter with him can be helped by our manifestation of charity towards them. Let us ask ourselves, we're doing well with our generosity to others, almsgiving. We're doing well, perhaps, with our fasting and prayer. How well can we do in this last few weeks of Lent in our works of mercy, especially for those who have strayed? The sheep are never lost because the shepherd is always in search of them, but he needs us to help. Let us therefore pray and do what we can to win souls for Christ, to enable them to encounter the mercy of the Lord. Praise to Jesus Christ.